Hi everyone, I'm Daniela and you're listening to the Mellow Moment Pet Health Podcast.
One, two, three, four.
In today's episode, I talked to Ira Gordon about the future of independent vet clinics. If you want to dive into ways to support the shrinking number of small, independent, and veterinary-owned clinics, listen to Ira's discussion on why this is important and how they can compete in an industry that is increasingly consolidating. Hi everyone, I'm Daniela from Mella Pet Care, and today I'm joined by Dr. Ira Gordon, whose tagline for this episode is that he is a Star Wars nerd. So if that isn't the best tagline ever, I don't know what is. I think that's the most creative and fun thing to know ever. And so with that awesome introduction, thank you so much for joining me, Dr. Ira.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Yeah, and so to start off, would you like to introduce yourself and give some personal background for the listeners?
Yeah, very happy to. You know, I describe myself as a super curious introvert who loves finding novel solutions to problems. I'm a veterinary radiation oncologist and an entrepreneur. In addition to owning and being the medical director for a group of oncology specialty practices, I've been involved in building three different startups, each of which address like big challenges that I've experienced myself. The first was a company called VetPrep, which developed a product to make the miserable process of preparing for veterinary board exams much easier and less terrible. The second is a group known as the Veterinary Angel Network for Entrepreneurs, or VANE. And so that provides support and backing to people trying to start or launch new ideas and businesses that can improve animal health. I know firsthand how hard that is. So it's great to help folks working on those types of ideas. And then my current full-time role is as the chief veterinary officer of a company called Vetcelerator, and that involves providing really desperately needed business and operational support to independent small veterinary clinics where owners and practice managers are trying to do what I now appreciate is a nearly impossible job of giving all their heart and soul to their clients, patients, and their staff while also trying to manage all of the complexities of a veterinary business, from HR, recruiting, finance, inventory to facilities and IT.
Yeah, that's such an amazing background and definitely really amazing ideas that you had. I think, preparing for vet board exams is definitely very daunting and something that needs a lot of help, and hopefully it's going to be less stressful in the coming years. But today we're here to kind of talk about veterinary clinic ownership and kind of both sides of that coin. So the corporate side and then the independent side. And so if I kind of think back to when I was not in the vet world, so, many, many years ago, what do most people really consider to be some of these veterinary clinics? And I would say that it would either be Banfield, like everyone seems to know about Banfield, regardless of what industry you're in. So you see Banfield with the 1,000 clinics across the US. And then you see, maybe the tiny mom and pop or independent veterinary clinic down the road that you take your dog to. So that, to me, at least, is what I believe a lot of pet parents who are not in the industry kind of see out there in the world. And so to kind of start off and distill it, why is independent veterinary clinic ownership so important?
That's a great question. And I should disclose that I'm someone that sold my group of three practices to a corporate group. So some of what I'm about to say may seem a bit disingenuous, but I assure you that it is not. I think one of the reasons why independent clinic ownership is so important is that really the issue as I see it is that when practices are part of a much larger business entity, major decisions get made on behalf of those practices that aren't necessarily made because that's what's in the best interest for that specific practice and the medicine practice there or for that clinic staff and clients, but they're made because that's in what's in the best interest of the larger group. And I've seen clinics that have been on kind of the short end of those decisions, and that it just creates disengagement, burnout, and frankly, hardship for those clinics. And then the other reason that I think we need to support independent veterinary clinic ownership is the veterinary profession is one of the most respected professions. When people, they find a good vet, they love and appreciate them. But I worry that as fewer clinics stay independent, we kind of risk just kind of becoming more of a commodity. And for the next generation of veterinarians, I would really hate to see what's been such a great profession to me shift in that direction in the way that we've seen happen with some other healthcare professions, like, for example, pharmacists, where for many pharmacists, they've kind of gone from being this, great trusted advisor and sort of close confidant. And obviously they're very much, brilliant and knowledgeable specialists, but oftentimes people just kind of see them as the doctor behind the counter at the corporate store. And I would hate for, the next generation of people in my profession to, sort of lose what we have.
Yeah, no, you make such good points. And, I don't like to be promotional on these podcasts about Mella. So I'm going to try to phrase this in a way that, stays within this conversation. But you're totally right that when we call individual clinics and we say, look, we have a fear-free product. How do you guys usually buy your products? How do you vet them? They say, oh, we don't have any power. Like, talk to our corporate headquarters who manages the 50 clinics. And suddenly, those people, as interested as they may be, just can't do anything about it, which is, sometimes very frustrating and can be sad for them if they genuinely think that it would be something that would improve their individual practice, but they can't.
Right.
And so now I'm wondering, this is how common is corporate ownership? Because I think you see a lot of the independent ones on the street, and maybe you're less familiar with some of the bigger hospital networks.
Yeah, the answer to that question depends a bit on how you count them. And honestly, the data isn't that great, but estimates are that about 20 to 25% of all vet clinics, at least companion animal vet clinics, are corporate owned. But what we're actually seeing is that we are kind of hitting the tipping point where we are approaching and possibly even passing seeing the majority of vet clinic visits and vet clinic revenue actually go to corporate clinics. So I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that corporate groups are taking over the profession when you look at the numbers that way.
Yeah. So then a kind of a follow-up question to that is, we've already discussed that it's so important for there to be independent veterinary clinics. So isn't there room to have both and allow independent clinics to grow and prosper and still have a few corporate clinics?
Yeah, I think so. And certainly corporate clinics are not going away, right? And frankly, they're not all bad either. Like, the clinic that bought my practices did lots of great things. They dedicated millions of dollars to support cancer research, like things that we couldn't have done by ourselves, right? And honestly, there's probably some vets that would rather work for a corporate group for a variety of reasons too. But when we think about independent clinics and if there's room, I think that those small and independent clinics just need more help. We need to make it easier for vets that have never owned or run a business to start a practice, right?
Right. No, and you do make a good point that there definitely are some benefits to having that corporate clinic overseeing you, where you do get more resources or more money. And that's awesome, because then you can reach more pets and save more of them. And so you then, therefore, is it safe to assume that you believe that there is hope for the future of independent clinics?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I heard the craziest thing at a conference I was at recently, and there was an executive from one of the very large corporate groups that was speaking, and they said, today's veterinarians aren't as interested in practice ownership. And, my jaw dropped. I almost couldn't stop myself from laughing, because if you walk into any veterinary school class and just ask the students who's potentially interested in practice ownership, you will see hands shoot up all over that room. Like, the interest is absolutely there. The problem is not that there's a lack of interest. The problem is they can't afford to buy a clinic because they're being outbid by the amounts that corporate groups are paying for these clinics that no one person could reasonably justify for sort of their own small business. And you add to that how hard it is to start up a practice and compete with these groups that are established and have outsized, funding, resource, and infrastructure compared to somebody on their own and probably that's never done it before or gotten the training to sort of start and run their own business.
Yeah, no, you're so right that there is a lot of interest. Back in the day, many years ago, when I was on the track to become a vet, that was absolutely a top priority, is practice ownership, because you can kind of just take it in whatever direction you want. And just, it's so creative and it's so liberating. But yeah, it's hard to then compete with the Banfield, who's offering a clinic you know, $2 million to buy them out. And so it's definitely difficult. But how does your work then at VetCelerator address this problem?
So, you know, here's what I think is cool about what we're doing. You know, when I sold my practices to a corporate group, like, I was kind of blown away at how great it was to have dedicated teams helping us with all the things that we struggled with, like recruiting and finance and operations and, you know, all these things. And for example, right after selling, like, all of a sudden we got like a massive discount on all the supplies we ordered. Like, that's great. It's also like kind of not really fair if you're the little guy, right? And so at VetCelerator, what we want to do is we want to provide, you know, all of those types of support at scale to small clinics that a corporate group could give them, but we don't want to take any ownership of those clinics. Instead, we just want to charge a fee to sort of receive all of those services, to take that weight off of you know, the practice manager and the owner's shoulders, and leave, you know, local ownership management decisions, you know, right there in the practice, so that those folks still have the final say about everything, and they still have all the equity in the practice. And so we feel like we are trying to create, you know, this third option, from one, kind of being on your own, two, giving it to somebody else, and three, actually having a lot of help, but still owning it.
Yeah, that's awesome. There's definitely nothing like a collaboration and a network of vets and people like you. And so that's really great to help out vets and from kind of that perspective. But as an individual pet parent, how can they do to help this out?
I think there's a lot they can do. I mean, the easy thing to say would be support your local and independent vets, right? If you have a vet that you love, you know, promote them to your friends, give them a great review online. Like, they're working really hard to take care of, you know, your pets and the pets in your community. You know, if you can, like, bring them a snack when you bring your pet in to see them, you know, get them a gift card for coffee or lunch. You know, like, those things just, they mean the world to the staff, and they can make a rough day into a good day quickly. And so I think, you know, just supporting those local clinics and independently owned clinics is a great thing that pet owners can do.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. And I'll also just throw in one little tip for maybe younger people listening. But when I was younger, about 13 or so, I walked into my vet clinic and I offered to volunteer for them. So I think that's awesome. So it's cute, because it's a, you know, it eventually did land me a job there for 4 years. But as a kid, I just said, let me in. I just want to, you know, sweep the floors and help you guys out. And I think that they really appreciated that. So if you're somebody listening who's interested in that world, that's an option for you.
For sure. For sure. I started as a volunteer too. And I think so many of us, you know, we scrubbed the kennels because we just wanted to be there and see what was going on, and, you know, got paid either nothing or little to be there at first. And, you know, in many cases found out this is where we want to be.
Exactly. Yeah. There was a lot of laundry those first few months. So now we're actually at the perfect time for you to answer our Bella signature question. This is something that I believe about 70 guests before you have gotten to answer. So just to think about the wide array of answers is insane. But for you to answer, what does pet health and wellness mean to you in today's day and age?
Yeah. So of course, it's a great question. And I love the concept that wellness is sort of more than the absence of disease, but honestly, like, that's such a necessary foundation. And, you know, kind of from my perspective as a veterinarian, as a doctor, I mean, I think that, you know, protecting pets from preventable diseases and diagnosing and managing treatable issues proactively is extremely important. And, you know, such a big part of what pet health means to me.
Yeah, that's an awesome answer. And so as we wrap up this unfortunately very short podcast episode, I know that every single pet parent and listener, regardless of, you know, where they are in the industry, is just very interested in learning more about VetCelerator. So how can they find you, and how can they keep up to date with what you're doing?
They can visit us at our website, which is www.vetcelerator.com. And check out what we have to offer. And we have services to provide to existing practice owners and practice managers that need help. If there's folks that are interested in starting a clinic or owning a clinic, we can do a tremendous amount to help them as well. And you know, we're really happy to connect with folks that are interested.
That's awesome. Well, Dr. Ira, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a great chat.
Pleasure's been mine.
Thank you all for listening, and make sure to check out the show notes for all links to everything mentioned in this episode. head over to www.mela.ai to learn more about what's happening over here at Mela Pet Care and for more ways to keep your pet healthy and happy. And finally, don't forget to check out the Mela Moment Pet Health Podcast on LinkedIn and Instagram.